rafters with the fire that is burning inside. I want to be very, very grateful for what he's doing in all of us. And know that we are in humble beginnings with our barn here, full of leaks and dribbles. But, you know, we have a message. And I look back at Jesus' time, and, you know, he came 2,000 years ago, and it's sort of like just like us, you know, in a barn. But, you know, he was ministering to the churches, you know, and they even said, "What is this foreign gospel you come to preach?" You know, and he spoke messages, and he was out there in the wilderness crying, you know, and kind of felt all alone, I guess, but he brought a message that changed the world where we're at today. And part of his message was, God now dwells with man. He doesn't dwell over here or dwell over there, but he dwells with inside of us. And to understand this truth means a lot to those who are called by his name. And we're all over the world with the internet, and I'm very grateful for the internet ministry that we have here. And there are many people that are being touched and changed. And it's important about having the person changed. You know, one day we'll be in heaven and we'll see our reward and we'll see who's been changed, you know. And I'm very grateful in that respect. You know, our reward will be eternal. And moving forward, we're in the midst of a series. And I believe that every time we begin to speak a series, we just feel that we are been prompt and moved by God as prophets in the old. You know, they were prompt and moved by God to speak a message in that hour. And we're prompt and moved by God to speak a message within that hour. What he is saying. And we're just a voice of what God is saying. These services aren't prepared in the sense of a yearly preparation. Where you come to this date next year and hear the same thing. It's a rhema word that is flowing constantly, and it's for us because God is alive and he's living and he's moving and he's calling his people. And with this series, I believe it's the heart of God in this hour, and we truly need to understand what it is he's saying in this hour. And God is saying, I want to develop a place, a dwelling place that I can dwell in. But there's a lot of key components that determines whether or not God's going to dwell with you or not. See, there are a lot of people out there that are suffering or deceived. They're crying for help. They're crying for God in a certain way. But God isn't able to hear them. There's a lead ceiling over them. There's a wall between them and God, a veil. And there's traditions that have been taught that brought us to a place of believing that we could just have access to God whenever we feel like it. I hope this isn't true as far as how we really believe, because there's a verse that was brought to us that really sparked, and I know why God did it, because there are many out there that are doing the works of tradition, we'll say, but they're not really working the relationship in faith. There's a verse out there that says, but Lord, Lord, there's a group that went before him on judgment. And how many people believe in the judgment? We're going to see them. And we're going to stand before them. And it's an eternal truth. And there was a group that stood before them in Scripture. And it said, but Lord, Lord, we did all these things in your name. And he said to them, get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. But Lord, Lord, we did all these things in your name. But get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. That's got to speak. For those that have been in church and have served God with their heart, and yet look at eternity, would God ever do that to us by saying, get away from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. But Lord, Lord, we did all these things in your name. But get away from me, I never knew you. And I believe in this hour, in 2018, I feel that we're called right now to begin to bring people out of the carnal mind thinking and bringing them more into the spiritual mind thinking so that they can begin to look spiritually into the heart of God and what he is really expecting from us. And we're right now building a house. We were talking about in the past, revelation and knowledge is ever increasing, and you see it on earth. I mean, look at technology. I mean, I see a wonderful woman here who has probably went through a tremendous amount of experience in life from the time where there was no phones at all, or maybe that little ringy dingy thing and the operators punching it in and trying to get you connected to the point where they had dial phones, and now they got these flip-flop things. And you know, you got a lot of knowledge that ever increased. Well, I also believe, spiritually speaking, that happens also too. And so God is saying, listen, the revelation and the mercy and the grace that I have poured out on that generation, okay, has built a tent. Before there was no tent. There was just some land out there. Now there's a tent. And now there was like as time and the generations increased in knowledge, their tents got more elaborated and became maybe a stick home, a log home. And then from there, it went to our 4-bedroom, 5-bedroom mansion homes, you know, with the hanging chandeliers and stuff. And we've ever increased in building these homes. Well, as knowledge is increasing in the spirit, God is saying it's time to build a bigger home, a bigger house, a better place for me to dwell in. The house that I dwelled in yesterday is not satisfying enough for the house that I want to build today. Think about it. Who's willing to live in a tent today? No way. Why? Because we have knowledge now and we have resources now that we don't need to live in a tent. Yes, I would like probably to, because I wouldn't have to worry about the electric bill and the gas bill and all the more simple way of living. But my point is, it's more comfortable to live in a better home. And so there's a bigger desire to live in that type of dwelling place. Well, spiritually mind speaking, God is requiring it in this time, this age, right now, to dwell in a better home. But the better home isn't the functional toilet that we have in the house rather than the outhouse. God is saying that I want some other ingredients in this house. And it's very important that we understand the ingredients in this dwelling place. Now, these ingredients have always been there from the beginning of time. They've never changed. But the demand for it is much higher. So I'm going to speak about one of the demands that God is requiring in this hour. And one of the demands is fear of the Lord. Not many people really understand the fear of the Lord. And if you look in Scripture, it's like 130-something verses that all pertain to the fear of God. And that fear of God brings wisdom. So the more fear of the Lord that we have in us, the better equipped our home becomes. And we overlook the fear of the Lord. I can just imagine those people that went up there in judgment time and said, but Lord, Lord, we did all these things in your name. But how did you go about doing these things in his name? Was there a reverence, fear of God in the midst of your heart? Were you really concentrating and depending on, you know, whether or not you're really truly doing it in him or not? You know, Jesus said one thing that really struck me, and he's a forerunner, and this is why we follow him. He was a man sent by God to show us the way, and we take his examples and we follow them. And one of the things that he said is, I only say what the Father tells me to say. I only do what the Father tells me to do. I mean, there was a reverence, fear of God in him that was directing his footsteps. And they come through the anointing. I shared what the anointing meant, and the anointing literally means that unction, that inspiration, that desire, that movement within. And we need to follow that. And sometimes we're bound by traditions, we're bound by what we were brought up with from our forefathers and stuff, like, well, you have to do this, and you have to do this, and you can't do that, and you can't do this, and blah, 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 blah. But developing the fear of the Lord is probably the greatest blessing that any one of us can obtain. We were speaking about Job earlier and how God worked in Job's life. And if you don't know the story about Job, Job was a righteous man in the eyes of God. But God wanted to take him to another level. He wanted Job, knowing that he had power to either take away or to give. God has the power to bless or curse. God has the power to make it or break it. And in that, you know, he wanted to bring Job to a more of an enlightenment of who he was. I think Job was one of those types that said, but Lord, Lord, I did all these things in your name. And he would say to him, Job, you know, get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never really knew you. I think he really loved Job to the point where that's why he allowed Satan to buffet him and come to the point of, you know, hitting him hard. If you knew the story, he got hit hard. And in that, when God began to reveal himself and Job was awakened by how great he is and how awesome God is, God admired that and said to Job, I'm going to restore everything back to you. Not only did he restore everything back, but he went beyond. And then he did something even greater. He began to hear Job. You know, there's prayers that are offered up in heaven. And if you're like me, you don't want to just pray. You want God to actually hear your prayer. You know, I believe that, well, I don't know if we're going to even quite understand this revelation, but our prayers are being sent. There's angelics that take your prayers. How many angels are going forth with your prayer? How many angels are equipped and hired for you to take your request to the throne room of God? If we can truly look at the majestic of God, I don't think we see God the way we see him. I think we fall short of really seeing the glory of God. I had the privileges of seeing the glory of God. That's why the pastors here know that I eat, drink, sleep the glory, because of the fact that I had the privileges of seeing the glory. And that's why I've had this conviction to share with you, to hear my voice, to hear the words that we share in this place, to listen to the pastors that are here, because they understand and they know eternal life. They know the truth. They know what it takes to get the hand of God in your life and stop the fighting and stop the hustle and the bustle and come into a place of peace and joy to tear down the worries and the weariness of life. How many of us get so caught up trying to figure it out, fighting constantly? You know, God can blind eyes and he can enlighten eyes for people to see. I mean, I brought this up before, like I see Allie with her artwork, and I used art in the past as references. And I'll tell you what, I look at some of this artwork and I'm like, what the heck? Not Allie, she does great work, but I'm saying, I look at some of this artwork and I say, what? How do you ever figure that's wonderful? And how could you put a price tag on that picture? Has anyone ever seen artwork and how much value they obtain? Some are like in the millions for some paint on canvas that I could do with my fingers, you know? And I'm like so taken back, like people are willing to pay that kind of money. But who do you think is in control? You see? What stirs the heart of an individual to be able to see the value and the beauty in something? It doesn't come by man. That comes by God. God is the one who allows blessings and curses to come into our lives. And I believe it all depends on our heart and the condition of our heart. today are you going to serve me? What day are you going to serve me? If you're going to serve me, then I'll be the one that holds back the battles. I'll be the one for them to see the glory in you. And then blessings will follow. I used to always say, life is given to us through individuals. And God has the way through their hearts. Take love. Take two people. How does one see another? And what causes them to see that person the way you do? To where you got this love for them, where others will be looking at that person and say, what the heck you doing with him, or what the heck you doing with her? But yet those two are looking at each other like, oh. Where do you think that comes from? That comes from heaven. That comes from our God. That's divine. Only God can change the hearts. He can soften the hearts and harden the hearts. So I look at life as God moving through the hearts of people. Do you know you only can make it through the hearts of people? Put yourself alone and try to make life through life alone. How many people think they can live life alone? You might get through it, but you know what you're going to miss? Happiness. God's mold and his desire is for not anyone to be alone. No one. But he does desire for us to be one with one another. And that's a whole nother mystery about building the house of God. But I want to implant in us today the importance of having the fear of the Lord. Without the fear of the Lord, we're blind, we're deaf, we're dumb, and we're ignorant. I have some verses here that I want to share. If you have your Bibles, you can open up in Hebrews. But one thing it says in Hebrews, it says if you don't have faith, it's impossible to please God. Well, how would you take faith? I'll tell you right now, if you gave me the definition of faith, I know faith is the substance of bringing things into existence that don't exist. I understand the definition. But if you had to ask me, what is the meaning of faith, Jim? I would tell you it's the fear of the Lord. If you have the fear of the Lord, then you have faith. Because you are actually looking at God and believing in God, knowing his power and his glory. And if you really want faith, if you really want to have salvation, if you really want that honest ticket to that eternal realm, have fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So I want to share a verse here out of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. It says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. It says that right there, with reverence and godly fear. Excuse me. The fear of the Lord is not a bad thing. Like, we grew up understanding fear as this bad, you know, situation. Oh, you can't fear, you know, fear is bad, blah, blah, blah. Don't fear anything, you know. But fear is good when you can change it into honor. Like, I fear the Lord greatly, but I'm not afraid of him. I run to him. I embrace him. I long for him. Thank you. I go towards him at any moment, especially, and I know I shouldn't, but I do it more often than I probably should do when everything is good. But when things are bad, I'm really running to him. But I want to run to him more so when everything is good too. Knowing that in good times, I want to keep him good. So I need to run to him more when they're good. Because when I don't run to him when they're good, that's when he allows Satan to buffet. Job, I believe, took his eyes off of God. I believe he was just operating in the traditions. But what began to happen was, he said, okay, Satan, go buffet them. If you're like me, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm sick and tired of having the burdens and the pressures on my shoulders. I want peace. I want joy. I want righteousness. What I'm saying is I want the kingdom of God. Well, the kingdom of God is at hand. It's here. There's a verse that I think some people got a little confused about. They said the kingdom of God suffers violence and the violence is taking it by force. And I remember people thinking that they have to do spiritual warfare. And they're like, let's be forceful in the kingdom of God and all that. And I'm saying to myself, no, no, no. The kingdom of God is suffering violence, and meaning it's being overtaken because of lack of knowledge. The kingdom of God is being taken because the people are suffering. They don't understand. I heard some great testimonies from a loving brother who I love so dearly, and I can't wait to see what happens in the future, and I'm excited for him. But with that being said, his kingdom was suffering, but he took truth, and he applied the truth that we've been telling here in this place, realizing that his battles aren't flesh and blood, but they're spiritual. And he began to learn and understand how to tear down the imaginations that enter into his mind, enter into his head, enter into his heart. Tear him down, because he was creating scenarios and lies, and he began to just cry out and ask the Lord, deliver me, help me. And because he cried out, he knew the fear of the Lord. That's the beginning of the fear of the Lord. A cry. He searches to and fro, looking for every broken, contrite heart, looking for every cry. Now, I remember before, people would say to me, God's for weak people. No, no, no. God is not. If you look at the pastors here, I don't think any of us look weak. I would tell you, none of us look weak. To have a love and relationship with God is not for weak people. I look at it as it's for powerful, anointed individuals that darkness wants to kill, wants to rob, wants to steal, wants to destroy. If I was on the side of darkness, do you think he wants me? Do you think he wants to rattle my chain if I was serving him, doing a well job for him? No, he's going to be like, let him go, let him go. But when you begin to really be a child of God, darkness doesn't like it. Darkness is going to try every avenue that they can to try to take your life. We speak about the soul in this place. One of the things that a traditional doctrine speaks about is saving the soul. How many of us have heard that before in the past? You have to save your soul. You have to save your soul. And hearing that so many times, you would think that you have to save your soul. But the truth is, and it says this in the Bible, if they read it, that Jesus came with a sword to divide the soul and spirit. So obviously the soul had to be kicked out, and the spirit needed to be resurrected, raised up. God is spirit, and he is joined with the spirit, and we need to embrace the spirit. And part of the components in building this house that dwells in the kingdom of God is the fear of the Lord. I would like to say it's the foundation of this. Without the fear of the Lord, our house is built on like sand. You know, it's not built on a rock. It's not built on a solid foundation. And to understand the fear of the Lord is so important. It's a love. It's an embrace. It's an authority. It's something like, you know, a husband and wife would do. You know, I'm sure if there's a love in that relationship, one's going to go and ask the other one, what do you think? That they're not going to just do things on their own. That's not a relationship. That's not marriage. That's not reverence. That's not honor. They would come together and say and toss things around, and both of them come to an agreement and they move forward in life. That's what God is looking out for. That's like the fear of the Lord. I fear my relationship because I don't want it to go south. If I went and did all my own thing and I just did whatever I wanted and never consulted with my significant other, how long do you think that relationship's going to last? It's not going to last very long. So it's almost like I have fear in my relationship. But that fear is not being afraid. My fear is I honor my relationship. How many people have gotten that one? And it's so important to understand this. You have to ask yourself, how many times do we go to the Lord when we have a decision to make? You know, how many times do we pray and ask God for direction or guidance in our lives? Or do we just shoot off the cuff? God wants intimacy. He really wants the fear of the Lord. And like I said, in the Bible, it spoke about it like 130 something verses about how important it is to have the fear of the Lord in you. Now, there's another verse that I want to share. This one's moved with godly fear. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, it says here, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heirs of the righteousness which is according to faith. You have Noah here, who had an unction. He heard God through an unction. I'm sure he was probably thinking he was a little crazy because rain at that time didn't exist. They didn't understand what rain was, you know? And God's like giving them this inspiration and vision saying, I'm going to flood the earth and I need an ark built. And he's probably thinking, what the heck is an ark? I mean, okay, I'll do it, but what the heck is it? In the meantime, not only did he know what it was, but he had other people just mocking him because they said, hey, what are you doing? What are you doing? And he's like, I'm building an ark. And not only am I building an ark, but it's going to really rain. And everybody's mocking. But what did he do? He moved in godly fear. He was obedient. And that's another thing that is important about building the house of God. There are things laid on our heart that brings life inside of us. And sometimes we're diverted. We're distracted, or we have fear of man or fear of the world, and we alter off of that path. God doesn't want you to alter off of that path. He wants you to stay true to that path. So if I had to narrow it down, I would say, be true to yourself. Be true to who you are. Don't be locked down by traditions or, you know, however else you want to think about life in general, your thoughts and your fears. But be true to your heart. You have to be true to your heart. You know what's right and you know what's wrong. Why do we tend to subject ourselves to doing things that are not right when we know that we shouldn't be? And then we justify and make lies, saying that I have to do this or I have to do that. It'll never get done. Has anyone ever said that before? Oh, you don't understand. I have to do this, and if I don't do it, it'll never get done. I've been in circumstances before where I was like, Lord, I need some help here, and I feel alone. So I almost had that heart of, if I don't do it, it'll never get done. And then next thing you know, someone comes around and says, hey, you need some help. Let me help you out. And I'm like, oh, praise God. Obviously, he heard my heart. He heard my prayer. He heard. Stay true to yourself. Don't be bound by the things of the world, so to say. And then there's another verse in Hebrew, chapter 5. And in chapter 5, it says, was heard because of godly fear. And it says, chapter 5, verse 7. And this is actually speaking of Jesus. who in the days of his flesh, meaning Jesus, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with fervent cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear. That's what I want. I want God to hear me. I don't want to have a relationship, or at least I thought I had a relationship, and go with the through the motions, be a good person and think I'm doing the right things, and you know, and not be at that point where God hears you. How many people are like me? How many people feel like me? How many of us really truly want God to hear our prayers? You know, it would be foolish to even think that he does without looking to see if you really honor him in that godly fear. So what I do is I look at myself and I say, am I honoring him in godly fear? Before I even request a prayer. Before I even go to the Lord. It's like, how many people have heard the verse or the story of Ruth when she dialed herself up and got all prepared? What's that? Esther? It's Esther then. Esther was the one. Thank you. See, I need to be corrected with these names. But I know the story. And Esther, she dialed herself up, got all cleaned up and prepared to see the king. And, you know, this is the same concept. That's a natural way of looking at preparing yourself for the king. But there's a spiritual preparation to prepare yourself for the king. And in the spirit, it's like putting on perfume. When you have that reverence, fear of the Lord, you have just doused yourself with the best smelling perfume. And when you humble yourself before the Lord and, you know, you don't look at him as just a common thing, but you look at God for who he is, you just added the beautiful, most greatest fragrance you could have put on yourself. You know, the Lord smells that sweet smelling aroma. And I want to dow myself up. If you're a woman of great integrity, you make sure that you look good. How many ladies are here to, you know, make sure that when they go out in public, they look good, right? I know I see a couple that are humble around, don't want to lift their hands up, but they want to make sure that they look good. I see some women here right here, you know, and they want to make themselves look good. And you know what? They're not looking to do it for them. They're actually looking to do it for themselves. I truly believe that. You do it for yourself. And God honors that. He sees that and he honors that. Well, he wants that same heart for him. He wants that same heart. And if we can put that same heart to him in the areas of understanding what his perfume is, what his jewelry is, what sparkles in his eyes, that's what it's all about. That's the foundation of building this house. That's the part of getting into the kingdom of God. You know, when you dress yourself nice and you look appropriate and you actually put some care into it. We need to put our care into our relationship with God, not just be sloppy and say, well, I went to church. Yeah, I did this. I did that. I don't think God honors it the way we would if we took care in our relationship with God. How many people are grabbing this one? Good. It's important. So I want to end this message about beginning to start building this foundation, this home, this place for God to dwell in. And take what we're saying serious. And look at yourself. And how are you adoring yourself in the presence of God? How are you dressing yourself in the presence of the Lord? Are you walking and taking his grace and his mercy for granted, or are you looking at it as a reverence? I'm not worthy to come to you, but Lord, hear my prayer. I'm not worthy enough to see you or know you, But Lord, you've given me eyes to see you, and I want to thank you. Come with him with a grateful heart. Prepare that sanctuary. Prepare that place of worship. Prepare that place before you enter into the kingdom of God. Begin to prepare, and then you'll begin to start seeing how God embraces you and begins to hear your prayers, begins to honor you and fight your battles and bless you rather than let the darkness curse you. You know, let us understand so that we don't come to a place still lost and confused. You know, and here's an example. You could be a good person, a good churchgoer, doing all the right things, but everything around you is falling apart. And you don't understand why things are falling apart. Why this is happening? Why that happened? Why am I aggravated? Why am I upset? Why are all these things going on? And this is the big lie out there. Oh, well, that's your cross. That's your thorn in your side, and you have to live with it. No, that is not true. They said that because they didn't know the truth, and they didn't want to deal with you. So they told you a lie. Oh, just deal with it. It's like, here's two aspirins. Call me in the morning. You know, they don't want to deal, and they don't want to even reach out and find the truth for themselves. They don't want to search the truth. They don't want to really deal with you or help you. But God is saying today, there's no need for my children to suffer or be destroyed anymore because of lack of knowledge. I'm pouring out grace today. I'm showing you the way. I'm showing you what I demand. I want to say demand. Now, let's take an earthly reference. If you're someone who sits in a high office and you yourself get dressed up and wear a suit or you're put on your best attire because you serve a high office, right? Think about it. How many people if they served a high office in your job or whatever, let's say you're a president or what have you, would you go to work in a suit and tie and showered and cologned up? Or would you go to work in your sweats and, you know, maybe not even, you know, how would you dress, right? So I look at God as him bringing his best attire because of the office that he carries. Now, you're sitting there and someone wants to meet you or what have you, and that person comes in smelling, dirty, not even taking care of them. How would you handle that person? You'd probably be like, you know what? You're not, I don't even think you would get to the person. I think you would probably get to the secretary first, and the secretary would be like, I think maybe you should clean up a little bit. I don't think you look good enough to go see him. I think maybe you make another appointment. So could that be the same thing with us? We want to come before the Lord, and our angels are saying, wait a minute. I can't even take your prayer to him because it stinks. It needs a shower. It needs a little reconstruction here, you know? And I think this is the same thing that happens in heaven. Matter of fact, I know that this happens in heaven. And so, moving forward, God has commissioned many angels on our behalf. Don't ever cut yourself short. You got tons of angels on your behalf. The question is those angels able to help you? Because you're lacking in knowledge of how to get the angels to work with you. I have angels that work with me. And my angels are doing a good job. You know how I know? I got peace. I got happiness. He's working and I have a bright future. I see the light at the end of the tunnel. Everything's going to be okay. I'm comforted. It's like getting big hugs from heaven above. I sleep well at night. I have confidence. There's a lot of things that has prepared my heart to be filled I share this so that you can set gauges for yourself. Because you're the only one that can bring your angels to heaven. You're the only one. And so when you offer your prayers, when you begin to, you know, share these things, prepare your heart. Know how to enter into the kingdom of God. I promised the year 2018, I was going to begin to reveal the supernatural. I promised that I was going to begin to elaborate more deeper in the sense of what's going on in your life. Why your prayers are being answered or why your prayers are not being answered. How God sees you and how God doesn't see you. I feel obligated in my heart. For what reason? I believe it's just because God, it sets the terms, it's the time. And not everybody is going to hear my voice. But those that hear it are going to end up being blessed. We don't know how much time we have left on this earth. But I'd hate to live this earth as a good person and thinking that God is going to say, well done, my faithful servant. He doesn't care about our works. He cares about our faith and then our works. So if we apply the reverence, fear of the Lord as our faith, then our works is cleaning ourselves up. You see? How many people have followed this message today? Amen. I'm gonna open the altars up because it was laid heavy on my heart that if someone is looking for a miracle, a sign, a wonder in their life, I want to offer the altar up. And pray for that person, for their sign, their wonder, their miracle. And if that's someone like you that is looking for, you know, a blessing in your life, a healing, you know, whatever it might be, I want to offer that to you. If not, that's okay. There'll be next week too. Because I know what it's like to sit in those chairs. And when you have an opportunity, especially if you're here for the first time or something, it's almost like, ooh. I want a miracle, but I just can't find my way up there yet. And I understand too. And we'll just pray. Amen? So if there's someone here that's looking for a blessing or a miracle or a prayer, I want to ask if you would come up. If not, I'm going to give you like 2 seconds. If you don't come up, then I'll just do a corporate prayer. Amen. Amen. I serve a righteous, mighty God. And I believe because of what He has done in my life, I believe I have that access to the throne room. I've seen many, many miracles throughout my time, especially when I've went into the nations. We've gone through some many, many trials and many, many moldings and shapings. I know why you're here. You're here to intercede and stand in the gap for this man. I read your heart. You have a great heart. You didn't even have to say anything. And did I? Am I right? You see?